Let us look at guiding principle for SLE, right? So we saw attributes, what can be some guiding principle for SLE, and these are I would say a couple of principles that one can abide by, right? So principle number one, this says the business requirements should form the foundation of service levels. And this we touched upon earlier as well, right? So the business requirements should be defined, and I would say the objectives should be available upfront, right? So understanding and defining business requirements and objectives upfront is time consuming, right? So this requires a good amount of business input, right? And any business investment is not repaid instantly, right? It is purely how the business is run over a period and how the return on investment is there year on year, right? So this should reflect the current and future requirements of the customer's business, I would say, right? So principle one is talking of having business requirements as the foundation of service levels. Let us see what principle 2 talks about. Principle 2 says the service levels, now we have defined service level, it says the service levels should be prioritized by the circumstances of business. So in principle 1, you are saying the business requirement is the foundation, and principle 2, you are saying the prioritization should be with the circumstances of the business, right? It should link to the service level, should measure the business outcome, right? Whether it's meeting the required business strategy or outcomes desired, right? Here you can take help of a simple strategy in terms of prioritizing the service level into buckets, critical or key performance indicators, right, or the regular ones. But this principle basically talks of prioritizing by circumstances of the business, right? Looking at principle 3, this principle says service credit regime should be designed, right? And why it is talking of service credit, right? And why this is important, right? So what do you mean by a service credit? It is like an additional credit that I am asking for. Now for sure the service provider is in the business to make some profit, right? And he will have a I would say margin to play, where his profit percentage will drip down based on his performance, right? It is important to have an assessment of the risk amount that is in play, right? Because that is where it caters for the vendor's profit margin, right? So if you push a service provider beyond a particular point where his existence into that engagement is not profitable and more at a loss, then it won't keep him motivated to do business, right? You need to keep a certain balance on that particular aspect. While a failure to meet a level may have multiple reasons, one should always assess, get details, and try to understand the exact reasoning. I am sure with a good vendor assessment, as we discuss, the right vendor service provider will be chosen, right? And you will also have had taken feedback from his customers, right? Now, you have a fair choice and you have a fair understanding that the service provider will perform to a certain level, and if it is, even if that is not the case, then that means there are some other issues in the environment, right? And which is where one should be considerate to the amount of penalization that can come in play in the engagement. End of the day, you want to have a fruitful and healthy engagement, right? It should be a win-win situation and not a win-loss, right? If the motivation is not there with the service provider, the intent would start and the motive and the I would say appeal to do better will start dripping down, the resources will start dropping down and the levels will start diminishing, right? So one should have a balanced approach there. This principle talks on that aspect. The next one, principle 4, it mentions that the effective service levels are, they are leading indicators of vendor performance, right? The levels of measure, right, high or low, are indicating how the vendor is performing. Now, the service provider or vendor may be smart also and try to take advantage by minimizing service level commitment, right? So, it is important to have service level that focuses on activities which are indicator of actual vendor performance, right? One should not give the opportunity to the vendor to have some play in this level at least, right? So the service levels should be a good indicator of the vendor performance. So this is again an important principle to keep in mind. The next principle talks of incentivizing. So it says incentivize remediation of recurrent performance issues, right? So recurrent issues are that the issues are happening again and again, right? So repeated failures, now these can, because the failures are repeated, they can get the service provider into a penalty zone, right? And which is where the vendor will be on his toes to solve that problem. So what is being said here is you can use those instances of repeat failures to escalate defined penalties, right? With each incremental failure, you can increase the level of penalty, right? So the penalty cap can also go beyond, right, if it's not mentioned, right? So instead of looking at the negative aspect of it, it will help if you put this in a positive manner in terms of asking or motivating the vendor to solve this issue in a faster manner, right? You can specify that the recurring service level failure, it's like you want to keep that line of threat with the vendor as well, that he should not take this lightly, right? What happens is an issue is occurring, you have not taken too much of action, the failure is again repeated, right? The vendor needs to be made sure that if the issue is recurring time and again, it's either he fixes it immediately or gives it due attention, or it may lead to say contractual breach and can lead to contract termination also, right? So recurrent problems, recurrent performance issues, like one should keep focus on incentivizing remediation in terms of not making it casual, but yes, having a drawing a line where the vendor is supposed or made to perform, right? So that's principle 5. Principle 6 talks of service levels changing with time. This principle says that service level will have to change with time, and why a time factor is kept here, it's because change is evident in business, right? You may have a change at the buyer end, and one should consider vendor's ability to manage that particular business risk also, right? So the service level will have to be monitored. If there is a change or improvement to the service level, should take place in terms of following a realistic part, discussing, having a deliberation, and agreeing to a particular change, right? This should or can be gradual, as I mentioned, but yes, it should be under consideration that there will be a revision to the service level, and it will be a mutual one, right? So these were some of the principles. Let us quickly touch upon some benefits and cons of SLAs. We've touched upon most of these earlier, but a quick run through on key points, right? What are the advantages, right? So the first one is the services are clearly identified. So with an SLA, you have a clear definition of what the service does, right? It also helps give clarity on the actual need and level of service required. So by the customer, so the service provider is very much aware and clear in terms of the expectations, right? Here, these also help differentiate services and service levels, right? You can have value-adding services and service levels differentiated from each other. These SLAs also help in clarifying the cost of a service, right? A cost benefit analysis can be done, right? And these also help better understanding and trust between the partners. So the crux of the engagement is a certain particular level of SLA to be met by the service provider, and if he's agreed and if he's done this similar engagement, that's where the entire engagement handshake goes on. Quick touch on the some of the disadvantages. So because this is an SLA, the drafting of SLAs can be a little costly affair. One will need to involve a specialist, and of course legal and compliance teams whose inputs are critical, right? Because this will touch upon aspects of penalization as well if the penalties are not met, right? If the levels are not met, right? So these can sometimes lead to increase in paperwork or bureaucracy. It's because the service provider may want to negotiate on a breach, stuff like that, right? This may warrant teams, especially at service provider, and they may need additional training. For example, the product mentioned that I had ServiceNow. So if you have a team which is new, they may need to be trained on that product to understand how the system generates or analyzes data and puts it forward for reporting. And the other stuff is finally the supplier bias can also creep in, right, on just trying to meet the SLA rather than putting thought or efforts for better outcomes, right? It is like sometimes trying to be just compliant, right? So if I say, if an SLA says 100% of the incident will be responded to in half an hour, right? So, and if it's an email stuff, auto reply typically does off with compliance. If there's a response given, it is not a proper reply, but an auto reply saying that yes, this incident has been received and we are working on it. So it is like just trying to meet the numbers, but not actual I would say thought on a good outcome there. So some bias can creep in. So these were some of the disadvantages. Let us now touch upon some factors related to SLA revision, right? So what we are saying is the SLA, and because times keep on changing, the engagement may be for 1, 3 or 5 years, right? So the SLA cannot be treat it as a permanent static document, right? The service requirements change with change in business scenarios, and then the SLA should have a framework for review and modification, right, during the entire term of the contract. One should prehand agree to reviewing this at a particular period, and agree to modify also based on the requirement. These are explicitly under certain conditions in terms of some of them are very key here. If there is any change in business need, right, so these can lead to a immediate demand in reviewing the SLA, right, or if there is a change in the technical environment or the workload has changed, or there is a need to improve the metrics. So these factors force revision to the SLA, because if there is a change which doesn't help the existing baseline, then the responses would be inaccurate, right? So let us look at a simple reference table of contents in SLA. Again, this is just out of one particular engagement and as a base reference only. The SLA can have the TOC or table of content, can have the confidentiality statement, the services provided, this is important. It has a placeholder for rewards and penalties, how the reporting should be done, user support, if there is an application enhancement, right? What is the application improvement. So as I mentioned, this is just a reference guideline. Again, one should use it specific to the particular need or environment. Just this has been taken up, put up just for reference to correlate. Let us look now at a difference between KPI and SLA, right? So very important point to touch upon, probably, or this is I think a concluding section in this chapter. But what is a difference between a KPI and an SLA? The KPI is a key performance indicator, right? So it is an element under the SLA, right? KPIs are an important performance measurement element, and they are part of the SLA, right? So KPI helps you measure that SLA, right? So the delivery of each process is measured through a range of different KPIs, right? They help cover targets of the defined level of quality, service, or cost, right? So KPI is under, it's a subset to an SLA, right? Both are not same. KPI helps define an SLA, right? And this KPI should be generated on a periodic basis. For sure, they need to be reviewed to ensure that the right KPIs are being measured. Now, failure of KPI is not a breach to contract, but failure of SLA is a breach, right? So the service provider agrees to the SLA, right? And the KPI is supporting meeting of that SLA, but failure of that KPI does not necessarily means breaching of the contract, right? So these basically are navigational to meet the defined SLA objectives. That's where the KPIs come into play. These help provide insight into operations, right? They highlight areas that may be going off track, right? They also help enable better business decisions, right? They are indicators of trend as well, right? And with view on trends, you can identify areas of opportunity as well. So what do they do? The KPIs flag outliers, right? They can indicate areas where potential revisions need to be done, or they will indicate areas where recurring errors are happening, right? So like SLAs, KPIs are also customized to meet business priorities, correct? Now, some KPIs, just as an example, that can be considered, right, for a subset of your SLAs. You have customer service levels, then you have backlog, schedule compliance, quality, conflict resolution, right? And in the example that I'll show you now, I think that will give you a good view on how the entire construct is. So these are some of the KPIs that can be used for consideration, right? And KPIs are it's a common vendor management tool, I would say, for compliance. So they go hand in hand because thoughtful the selected KPIs help keep the SLAs on track. As I mentioned, it's a bonding relation there, right? And these form a basis for a successful relationship between both the partners, right? So you will see in the next snapshot that I have how the construct is and how what we all covered comes up in a single view, right? So these KPIs help establish a clear set of rules to get everybody on the same page, right? Now, as we mentioned earlier, the SLAs and service level reviews, right? These should be done at a regular ongoing basis, right? And an ongoing review helps both the organizations. So governance, largely, if you've seen it, holds control on the engagement, and then it has key aspects of SLAs and KPIs, which should be measured under this particular aspect. Now look at this particular table. This is a very good indicator of how things are or happen in an actual organization. So this is a particular slide snippet which is part of a governance slide, right? And I've just picked up the one on SLA and KPI. It's a SLA and KPI dashboard. It indicates which month and year it is used. So if you look at the first table, right, is talking of service level adherence, and the other table is giving a reference or resolution for a month which is minus A. So this particular table is for, say, a current month and year. And beside this, you also have a table which is for the previous month. So you have a comparison available. So what is getting covered? So if you look at the metric, now the first metric is on time delivery. And here there is a reference to the contractual schedule, right? It talks about reference where this is mentioned in the contract, schedule A or section X, right? Now A and X are arbitrary. So the metric, what metrics are indicated here? On time delivery, first contact resolution, again reference schedule B section Y, right? First pass resolution, schedule C section W, maximum time to resolve, schedule D section 5, right? So these are 1, 2, 3, 4 different metrics, right? Four metrics. Understand that these were mentioned in the contract, right? Now these metrics, against this metric you have a ticket type, right? Against this metric you have a ticket type. And what are the different kinds of ticket? One is an incident. It is like an incident occurred, right? It is not a activity done, it is an incident that has occurred. Second is a service request. Now this is initiated, right? Somebody has initiated a request. This request can be for, say, a new software, right? Incident can be a break in service. Third one is access request. I need access to, say, AD, right? Active Directory, or I need access to SharePoint. So this is an access required, right? So under this metric, there are three types of tickets which are available, right? And this talks of a current month snippet, what the SLA adherence is. under the second matrix you have incident, third incident, fourth incident. So you have the incident categories only under these three, and incident, service request and access categories under the first one. Next column specifies the SLA type, right? So you have the type of SLA. What is the type of SLA that has been agreed upon? So you have a premium, standard and reduced, right? So again, say this is important to understand because this links to the commercials. So premium SLA, it says the target is 95%, standard SLA 90%, reduced SLA 85%. So for each SLA type you have a different target, right? And this is there for all the ticket types, right? Now this particular first contact resolution, the agreement is a different percentage. You are, the vendor is citing 67% against all three categories for the first contact resolution. First pass resolution, it's a higher number, 97.5%, right? Max time to resolve. So now here you see there is a criticality mentioned. If it is a one, which is critical, two is high, medium and low. For a critical, max time to resolve, you are asking for 100% compliance. High one, 95%, medium 75%, it's greater than, low greater than 60%. So you see that the metric is aligned to a SLA type, right? It is part of the SLA type. The type has a target, right? And then you have also defined a service window under which you will comply. So this says 9 hours to 15 hours IST, which means an incident occurring out of these hours, the service provider is not liable for penalty, right, or compliance. If it is within these hours, then only these target percentages hold good, right? So get this view very clearly, and this is, as I mentioned, out of the practical presentation boards, right? You have the metric, it links to a particular type of ticket, it is governed by a particular SLA type, that SLA type has a target, and then you have a service window. Now this portion is where the dashboard is published, right from total tickets, SLA passed, SLA failed, and what is the percentage, right? So this category had a total ticket of 235, where the SLA passed was 212, the SLA failed at 23%. So the percentage achieved was 90%, which is less than 95, which is why it is highlighted. So this particular is non-compliant for this month, but if you refer, it was compliant by a large number the earlier month, right? So this is how the SLA reporting, the SLA and KPI dashboard is. For the senior level, it gives a single pane view. I can see with a single view that I have four areas where the non-compliance has been there compared to one in the previous month. So it obviously indicates that the service has deteriorated, right, compared to last month. And then the onus is on service provider to turn this also green in the subsequent month. You can have this for multiple months, right? It is not necessary to have just 2 months. You can have 3 months, 4 months, based on how you want to monitor and what view you want to capture, right? So this is a very good example. Put your thoughts to this, right? Get an understanding. This is a sample here, but a very good sample to show you how these are linked to each other and how the final view is to the, I would say, end governing body. So this is part of a governance slide, right? And as I mentioned earlier, so the teams discussing the contract, defining the SLAs, right? Everybody has their role to play, definition of KPI, the SLAs, and finally the construct gives a consolidated view, right? So I hope this has brought clarity to the understanding, right? And if we are to now just quickly summarize on this governance stuff, we have seen that governance largely talks about controlling and then bringing out the measurable factors that are monitored in terms of SLAs. These SLAs should be realistically defined, they should be measurable and enforceable, right? And good governance warrants consideration to key factors like balancing the stakeholder needs, right? Seeking cultural synergy, handling SLAs in a fair manner. As I said, it is an engagement that one looks at from a long-term perspective and not a short-term one. So it is important to have a good understanding on the governance, right? Thank you.